Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Jenny Strozier Keeping It Real show. This is Mary Neal. I'm the director of Human Rights Demand. Unfortunately, we're not being allowed to all be on the radio at the same time. Jenny Strozier tried to call in on the host number with the host code, and he was not admitted. The lie was that only one host is allowed online at one time. We pay for the premium package, which allows multiple hosts to be on a show. So we are once again being denied our rights as premium package payers. This is extortion. However, since these people in America are so afraid of free speech because they are so corrupt, that they are afraid of free speech. Because they are afraid of free speech, I will relinquish this land in order that Jenny Strozier can call in and speak with you. This is his show, Jenny Strozier, Keeping It Real. It's a re-entry show, and I trust you will enjoy it. Blog Talk Radio is reneging on its obligation to allow multiple hosts on this premium package. So I will relinquish the line to him, and I will be back to talk to you after Jenny Strozier concludes his conversation. Thank you so much for calling in. Jenny Strozier, keeping it real.
Hello, and welcome to Jenny Strozier, keeping it real. Welcome to Jenny Strozier. I want to say good afternoon to everybody. And this is Jenny Strozier, keeping it real. I'm sorry tonight, I'm having a difficult problem with the radio show because my host, they tampered with my host computer and they messed it up. And so right now I got a new number. People want to dial in a new number. You can, I'll try to give it to you. We're really going through some problems right now with this radio show. And we're trying to get it up. And I got last minute instructions. The phone number was changed. So a lot of people that got phone numbers now that I gave the card out to today, they call in. The phone number's no good. And you can't call in. But you can listen to the show. Now, my name is Jenny Strozier. Now, first of all, I just want to say this here. I just want to say that this show is was produced by Miss Mary Neal, and she gave me a show back when I just got out of prison. But I started my journey in 19. And come from that, I wasn't abused. I came out of an abusive family. Wound up going to prison when I was 10 years old. Stayed in prison for over 46 years. Did 28 years in Reedsville. Did 7 years in Alto. Did over 4 years in the youth detention center. And I wound up doing 28 years in Reedsville State Prison, one of the roughest prisons in the United States. They called Reedsville then was the roughest prison in America. I did over 28 years and around some of the most dangerous men I have ever seen in my life. But over the years that I was there, I became a statistic. I became one of those dangerous men that was in that institution. But
called me at the last minute. Ain't gonna let you in. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It has come to my attention that Jenny Strozier did not see fit to carry on tonight. He has a lot of people who have, he notified they could come to the show tonight, and none of them were able to join him on air, and so he's very concerned about that, and I certainly understand. He's had a lot of people calling him while he was on air, people who intended to join him on air, and they were not allowed to do that. And so he told me that he simply would just relinquish this show to me this evening because he cannot carry on under these circumstances. As I have told you, the hackers, the stalkers, the Nazis have torn up my computer, and it is necessary for the host to have a computer in order to admit other callers. So I certainly apologize for the fact that Jenny Strozier was not allowed to admit callers tonight because they have destroyed our computer. The situation is that Jenny Strozier's show, Keeping It Real, is a reentry show. And he talks about reentry opportunities, opportunities for people to have successful reentry after incarceration. There are people who do not want our released inmates to have successful reentry. And indeed, America has a dismal record when it comes to reentry. 67.5% of our released inmates do reenter prison. Yes, 67.5% of our released inmates do recidivate. And that is highly unfortunate, and it is absolutely contrived. When people prevent church people like Jenny Strozier and the individuals who he has gathered around him to help him create successful reentries, when people prevent their activity like they're doing tonight for Jenny Strozier, that hurts inmates who are released. It hurts their opportunities because the people who I'm talking about are interested in creating successful opportunities. They are interested in supplying released inmates with clothing, with food, with use of telephones, with job leads. And they're not able to do that on the Jenny Strozier Keeping It Real show, which is out of Atlanta, Georgia, because of prison investors who do not want them to be helped. They do not want people who they have worked for 10 years, 20 years, free of charge. Yes, in America, people are not paid for any work they do. People they work 10 and 20 years free of charge, they do not want them to have successful reentries. They want them to continue being prison slaves, recidivating in and out of prison for years, even if it's dangerous for society, even if it means that people in society are hurt. They do not care. People in society are often hurt by people who have been to prison and who are on their way back, because these people very often are deprived of what they need as far as food, clothing, shelter, and even the spiritual advice that Jenny Strozier and other Christians can give to teach them to hold on and keep on trying, keep on, hold on another day. We're helping you. We care about you. We're praying for you. We believe in you. They don't want released inmates to have that kind of support. They do not want inmates to have that kind of prayer. They do not want released inmates to have the practical support that Jenny Strozier and his friends, who he have gathered together in order to help released inmates, they do not want them to be able to reach out a hand to other people who are trying to successfully reenter society. So they tore up my computer. My name is Mary Neal, and you can look me up online, Mary Loves Justice. They destroyed my computer in order to prevent our access to the Internet for these types of programs. And I want you to know that it's not going to work, because Internet is too widespread. We will continue to use the Internet. Tonight, first of all, Jenny Strozier was told falsely that hosts cannot talk on Blog Talk Radio. We cannot both log in. That's a lie, because we have the premium package and it allows multiple hosts. So that's a lie. The situation is that this administration in particular is particularly against inmates. It's particularly against the idea of releasing inmates after their time is served. It's particularly for prison populations. President Obama, I was told, said that 6,000 inmates would be released. I never believed it for a minute. I did not put it on my page. I've heard these types of lies before. And I was told later that he said it would be after he leaves office. Indeed, it would have to be after he leaves office. So these kinds of bullshit games have been played on American people for years, but absolutely for years. And I just want you to know that not all of us are gullible enough to continue to believe in Santa Claus after the reindeer have flown over without him. So this is a game that is being played on Americans while they gather for themselves and even till their breast something like $100 billion per year to incarcerate 2.3 million people, most of whom are mental patients. I'm also the director of assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill, and that's who they really hate and want to keep incarcerated. They get enjoyment out of using them for human dog fights. They get enjoyment out of doing that. They are criminals. They kill the mentally ill readily, and it's just totally terrible what they do to people. And I want you to know they killed my brother, Larry Neal. Look that up online, wrongful death of Larry Neal. He was a mentally ill heart patient who they murdered, and that was in Memphis Shelby County Jail in 2003. Evidently, they got some kind of black ops door that they put him through, because the police in Memphis continually told his family and social worker that he was not incarcerated while, in fact, he was in their custody. That went on for 18 days while Larry died in their custody. Whether they used him for human dog fights like they have done in Memphis, that's how Mr. Gregory got killed, or whether they used him for waterboarding experiments. They trained waterboarding experts over here in America for 80 hours, I was told. I read that, and then sent them to Guantanamo Bay. Memphis Shelby County Jail was under the jurisdiction, the direct overview of the USDOJ at the time. It was under their direct overview. And that is to say that all jails and prisons are under the overview of the USDOJ, but Memphis was more directly under their overview than other jails and prisons because Memphis was operating under a settlement agreement with the United States of America after a lawsuit. So these people in the federal government allow jails and prisons to get away with their murders. That is what they allow to happen. And because I will not allow it to happen without discussing it, without exposing and opposing it, they continually destroy my computers and they attack my opportunities to talk online about it. I even saw where on August 12th, the USDOJ has revised its agreement. It's 2000. Agreement. That's the year 2000 agreement with Memphis Shelby County Jail. They revised a 15-year-old agreement that has already been released. The jail, that like it's not released. That jail was already released. That agreement has already been executed 15 years ago, but they revised it on August 12, 2015. And this is an agreement that they entered in 2000. Now, I don't know whether they felt bold enough to do that because they may have seen the agreement in the papers that were stolen from my house on August 12, 2012, I believe it was. They sent a COINTELPRO agent here, and she opened the door around 2:30 or 3 in the morning for people to come in and steal my records. And they may have seen the agreement among those records. But unlike my big brother, Jesus Christ, I saved. I saved and saved and saved. And the thing is that the records I saved, I don't just save them myself. I share them with my network to also save. And so anything they've stolen and then tried to come out with something new, like new court dockets, new agreements, and all that kind of thing that these corrupt people do, it will not work because I have the original. And so I wanted to, right now tonight, read you pertinent parts of the original agreement that I believe have been changed in this new cloth agreement that he drew up on August 12th, 2015. How ridiculous. And I'm not going to read you the entire agreement. I'm just going to read you certain parts. I want you to know that whenever the government does an investigation of an abusive jail like Memphis Shelby County Jail was and still is, whenever they do an investigation of that jail, if they find that there has been a practice of civil rights discrimination and violations, then the government has the right to file suit against that jail and also to assume direct overview of that jail under a settlement agreement. And that is exactly what happened in Memphis, Tennessee. In public, that's what happened. In public. But in private, it was just winks and hand slaps and just keep it down. Do what you want to do. Just keep it down. Get to us first, and we'll cover it up for you. If anybody tries to tell about future murders that happen in this jail, we'll let us know about it, and we'll keep it covered. We're in the same ball game. We're on the same team. So that is exactly what happened in Memphis Shelby County Jail when Larry Neal was secretly arrested there and murdered. The USA colluded with the officials in Memphis, Tennessee, and Shelby County, and they kept that murder covered up. And so did the Johnny Cochran firm, which is a COINTELPRO operation operating falsely using the name Johnny Cochran. Johnny Cochran was considered a legal hero to many blacks. As a matter of fact, Johnny Cochran had announced plans to sue the United States of America and certain corporations for slavery and for using leased slaves and for Jim Crow tactics, which kept blacks from being paid at the same level as whites who were hired to do the same work and by the same corporations. So that was Jim Crow. Before Jim Crow, there was actual slavery, where blacks were not paid at all for their labor. And, of course, both of those are going on now in the prison industrial complex that Johnny Strozier was a part of for 46 years. We know that our people now are enslaved as prisoners because of the 13th Amendment. The 13th Amendment said that there would be no slavery in America except, and that's the crucial point, except for people who have been duly convicted of crimes. Now, we have to look at this duly convicted. The U.S. Supreme Court has said recently that it's okay for black people to be convicted by all white juries. And so this is not a jury of their peers. That is not due process of law. I would contend that is not duly conviction. But nevertheless, America, with its racist self, has decided that being convicted by an all-white jury, if you're a black man, is perfectly okay. And so many, many blacks are in jail under sentences that is admittedly racist. As a matter of fact, America passed the Fair Sentencing Act, which got rid of the 100-to-1 crack to powder cocaine disparity. People who were sentenced to prison for crack cocaine, which for some reason blacks prefer, were 100 times more, they served sentences that were 100% longer than whites. And when I say whites, I mean people who use powder cocaine. So they picked out what blacks use most often and made the sentences be 100 times stronger and longer, and they admitted some years later that was racist of them, and they changed the law to 18-1, which is still racist as hell, but it's better. And then they did not apply the law retroactively, so that if a person was sentenced under a law that the USA admits was racist, they do not get their sentences reduced to the current racist sentence, which is 18-1, thanks to the Obama administration. That's Barack Obama administration. Eric Holder appealed the judge's order when he told them to apply that Fair Sentencing Act retroactively. Holder said, oh, hell no. Don't let out all those black people. We got them, and we're going to keep them, racist law or not. So that's exactly what happened. So throughout this nation, we have tens of thousands of black people who America admits is serving sentences that were dealt out to them based on racism more than based on the crime, but they will not let them go. I also read about the district attorney in Illinois, I believe it was recently, who said that they realized that a great number of innocent people are in jail. I guess that's after that Burgess incident, where he was torturing blacks to make them confess to crimes they did not do. This district attorney said that they fully realize that there are plenty of innocent people in jail, but they will not review their cases. So America has admittedly gone back to slavery, and I want you to know that you do not have to be in jail to be treated like a slave. I was in a position yesterday where I got another cell phone, and when the young lady activated that cell phone, she made a couple of test calls and everything was fine. By the time I got home, the cell phone reads now that there is no SIM card and that I can call emergency only. So this is how desperate these people are to keep the truth from going forward. This cell phone I'm using now is completely under their control. Completely. While I thought about that, I thought I'd look to see was I really on air, because these people are completely out of hand. I want you to know they're corrupt in every way. They are against any type of freedom, anything approaching freedom, especially for people who are black or brown, poor whites, and red people. People who are Native Americans, blacks, Italians, Hispanics and Latinos, and poor whites. They are completely against anything approaching freedom for those classifications of people. As a matter of fact, they really want you dead, okay? I have on tape a depopulation meeting, which I save in case these people do something detrimental to me or someone who I care about. I have on tape a depopulation meeting that I taped. I also have other items that I don't publish online. I save them for if they ever harm anybody. So that's where we are. We're in a standoff, more or less, because these people are absolutely dangerous and they are so psychopathic. Psychos. And I don't tell you that lightly. I've been saying the same thing in much milder terms for 12 years. I've been telling you for 12 years that these people are power drunk. They're drunk on power, and they are psychopathic. I think they're possibly drug addicts. I don't know, but I do know that they are drunk on power. And their idea is that they kill anybody they want to, and they even passed a law, executive privilege to murder people, okay, American citizens. And not to mention NDAA, which is executive privilege to intern people in prisons and jails without any charges or any opportunity for defense. Do you see where that fits in anywhere with the U.S. Constitution? The Sixth Amendment guarantees everybody a public, open, speedy trial, fair trial. And we don't have that. We have NDAA, where somebody can just look at you and say, send that group of people to concentration camps. Why? Well, I don't have to answer why. Well, when would their trial be? They won't get a damn trial. This is where we're living. We're living back in the medieval times, and I want you to know that the mentally ill among us, people who have mental disabilities, have been living in medieval times for a long time now. Back in medieval times, anyone with mental disabilities in Europe were often relegated to damp, dark cellars, basements, dungeons, chained up, and that's exactly what is happening to mentally ill people in America right now. They're chained up in unhealthy, unsanitary environments, and they are often killed for sport. In fact, sometimes they make them kill each other for the entertainment of these corrections officers who are themselves psychopathic. And so this is what's happening in America. Mentally ill people are often engaged in human dogfights for the enjoyment of these people who claim they're keeping them because they're so dangerous. They turn them over to psychopaths. So, as I said when I began, somebody sent COINTELPRO agents to my house to steal my records. And one of the things that they stole was the settlement agreement between the Shelby County Jail and the USA. So that being stolen, I guess they thought, well, let's go ahead and revise it. A 15-year-old agreement has been revised, which if that doesn't strike you as being strange, I don't know what can. Because as you know, when you buy a car or do anything else and sign a contract, you have a cutoff time to make changes to it. It's 3 days. 3 days. That's how long you have after you sign an agreement to buy something. That's how long you have to change it. I don't know how long they're supposed to have to change agreements they make with jails, but I guarantee you it's a lot less than 15 years. In fact, this is something like 10 years after the agreement has already been executed. In other words, discharged. And, you know, the media is all a part of this Nazi cover-up that's going on regarding my brother's murder and all of these murders. The media is very much a part of it. I want you to know that the Memphis Commercial Appeal carried the information when the hearings were. Memphis Shelby County Jail had hearings in federal court in order to examine whether they had been good boys and girls to the point that the feds could release them from federal overview. And when that happened, they were released from federal overview. And the Memphis Commercial Appeal had write-ups about those hearings. I'll tell you what, you can look in the archives and you won't see a damn thing about the hearings to release the jail from federal overview. They want to pretend like it's been continuous and it's still under federal overview from that lawsuit in 2000. That's a great big lie. So these people have the media covering for them. When the Cochran firm went to court, yes, they went to court at Georgia Superior Court before Judge Wendy Shoup, and they declared to Judge Wendy Shoup in open court on their pleadings that the Cochran firm didn't have any law offices whatsoever within the state of Georgia. Yes, that's on paper. Yes. And the thing is, that was the biggest bold-faced lie I've ever heard, in court or out of court. I've never heard anything so outrageous as that. And no judge could believe that, and no law firm could prove that the Cochran firm had no law firms in the state of Georgia. How ridiculous. And so the situation is that these people did go forward and tell that lie before Judge Wendy Shoup, and she did dismiss our lawsuit on the basis of that bald-faced lie that the Cochran firm told. And so the Cochran firm represented us, supposedly, in the wrongful death of Larry Neal case, and they were representing us because we did try to sue the jail for his secret arrest and murder. And the Cochran firm's job in that case, of course, we didn't know that they had, that was a Cointelpro law firm. Johnny Cochran was very sick at the time with cancer and with tumors, brain tumors. And the public did not know that. But anyway, they defrauded us, never did bring the case, lied during the statute of limitations passing. And that was what they did. That's their job. They didn't stop with us, though. They have defrauded black people continually for municipalities, for police departments, and for major corporations. Ever since they defrauded us, they've been defrauding one black family after another. You see, the situation in America is still like it was when that during the times that you may have seen on the documentary, Eyes on the Prize. In the documentary, they showed you slavery, and we still have slavery, black and brown people primarily. And in Eyes on the Prize, they showed you Jim Crow, and we still have Jim Crow. These people would rather do anything than to pay black and brown people fair wages for their work. That is when they came up with temporary jobs. That's a form of Jim Crow. If a person is working a temporary job, it's legal to pay them less than half of what you pay the regular employees for doing the same job. And so that's one way to keep Jim Crow going. If you go to a company to apply, they'll say, well, we're not hiring. We got a hiring freeze. But we do need some extra workers right now. And if you go to this temporary service, tell them to refer you over here. And so then you'll go to the temporary service, and you'll come in making $8 an hour, whereas if the company had hired you outright like it did the others, you might be making $20 an hour. So Jim Crow got all kinds of ways that it is continuing in America, because America is the most racist country on the face of the earth, and it always has been, very racist. And so we got Jim Crow going through temporary labor, et cetera. We've got slavery going through the loophole that's in the 13th Amendment, and we have outright Nazism going when it comes to people like Mary Neal, who will speak out and tell the truth. My brother was secretly arrested and murdered. You can read about him at a website called Wrongful Death of Larry Neal, if they let you. I looked at it at Google when I was at the library, and it was looking kind of strange, very little. It was like you were looking at a picture of the website instead of the website. Also, if you look at my Google Plus page, and my name is Mary Loves Justice, you can see my Google Plus page. Just put in Google, the word Google, and a plus sign, and then put my name, Mary Loves Justice. You should see across the top all the pictures that I have posted are cut in half. They're only half of the picture show. And one of the pictures that's cut in half says no stalking, and it's like a no smoking sign, but it says no stalking. Because I've got stalkers both in person and online, and they destroyed my computer, and that's why you're listening to me tonight instead of to Johnny Strozier, who was arrested at age 10 and released in 2013 at age 56, 46 years as a prison slave in the state of Georgia. And I think that's shameful, but Johnny Strozier has decided not to be bitter, but to look forward and to help other people re-enter society, even as he's still re-entering himself. So these people are totally corrupt. Slavery, yes, we've got a lot of slavery going on. We've got, and it is based on race, just like those slavery was, because we've got prison slaves who are serving time under the old 100-to-1 sentencing law that America bald-facedly admits is racist. and won't change it. Obama said, oh, hell no. That's what the Obama administration said. That's what Eric Holder stood in the way of that Fair Sentencing Act being applied retroactively, which meant that all the tens of thousands of black people and brown people who were currently serving time under the old racist law are still serving time. And then we keep hearing about Obama wants to make changes, but they won't let him. Well, you know, I want you to know that the first 4 years of this man's administration, he had a Democrat Congress and a Democrat Senate and a Democrat White House. So, you know, don't tell me that crap about the Democrats want freedom and justice and the Republicans don't. That's a damn lie. And the Republicans and Democrats got together and passed NDAA to be able to intern you as an American citizen in prisons and jails and concentration camps without any trial or any due process of law. That's what the Democrats and Republicans passed when Obama was president in 2011. So this has nothing to do with anything. It's not racist. It's not just racist, honey. Believe you me, white people, they're coming after you. You Tea Party people and you people who care about liberty, all you libertarians, people who love the U.S. Constitution, they have listed some of the people they're concerned, and I put the word concerned in quotations. They're concerned about, and it even includes our U.S. veterans. Yes, they're concerned about them. And they show their concern about U.S. veterans because U.S. veterans have been twice, over 700 U.S. veterans who went to the Veterans Hospital have been given shots with needles that were laced with hepatitis C and HIV. Yes, our U.S. veterans. So, yes, they're concerned about Christians. They call radical Christians. In other words, they don't care if you're just calling yourself a Christian because you go to church or because you support church service or because you have your children baptized. That's not a radical Christian. A radical Christian is a person who actually speaks up for the poor and oppressed and all who are appointed to destruction, who does justly, who thinks about justice and actually acts on behalf of justice. That person, if they do those things as a matter of their religious duty, then that person is called a radical Christian. And because you speak up for justice and you believe in justice and you believe that nobody should be treated like a person wouldn't want to be treated. In other words, if you believe, as Jesus said, that we should do unto others as we would have them to do unto us, then that is a radical Christian concept, and you are also on the watch this person list, watch list. So these people are quite serious about depopulation. They're quite serious about enslaving America, and I say that not lightly. I've been saying it for 12 years in much milder terms, but as they step up the program, I must step up the program and let you know that we are quickly reaching the point where if you people in the radio land in America do not start standing up for one another when people are oppressed by these Nazis, then you're going to find yourself under the hand and iron curtain. Remember that in Nazi Germany, people who did not stand up, first of all, for the mentally ill, who were isolated and exterminated, 300,000 or more people who were labeled with mental illness in Nazi Germany were isolated and exterminated before they came for the minorities. Next, they came for the minorities, and I'm told that they exterminated over 6 million people who were minorities, including Jews, blacks, and homosexuals. Yes. Jews, blacks, and homosexuals, and dissidents, who are people who did not agree with the government's right to exterminate people, dissidents. And so after that, the whole nation ended up behind an Iron Curtain in Germany for over 50 years. So even those people who kept quiet and didn't even have a problem with these people murdering and committing genocide, they ended up behind an Iron Curtain for over 50 years. So don't think that you will escape because you be quiet about these abuses of power, because you yourself will be ensnared in it one way or another. I want to read to you some of this settlement agreement, the original one, before these people revised it in August 2015. This is a 15-year-old settlement agreement between the USA and Shelby County Jail. I guess the first one spelled out too plainly what the United States' duties were regarding a jail that had secretly arrested and murdered a mental patient. And so they revised it, okay? But I want to read you some of the original one to let these people know that I'm not a liar. When I tell them I have something, I have it. And when I tell them that my network has it, they have it. There is nothing at all they can do to me and keep it secret. They sent two armed people to my house on September 11th. Can they think of another day? No. September 11th, two people were sent to my house, armed people, a woman with a rifle and a man with a pistol. Can you get over it? On September 11th, at first dark in Georgia, they sliding around my house like the snakes they are. Called the police, and the police said, well, they didn't steal anything. I kept them talking because I wanted to know what else he knew. And I said, they were armed, sliding around my house. And he said, well, there's no law against open carry. And I wanted to keep him talking. And so I said, they were at our house. They weren't open carry and walking down the street. He said, well, you don't have any no trespassing signs. I want you to know that at no point did he ask us did we have no trespassing signs. He told us that we did not. At no point did he ask us did they steal anything. He told us that they did not. So this man, how did he know all that? How did the DeKalb County cop know these answers to these questions without asking us? I guess he had talked to them. I guess these were cops. They were certainly dressed like cops. And so, you know, these people are absolutely dangerous. They're psychopaths. They are bent on continuing to kill the mentally ill without my voice on it. My name is Mary Neal. I'm Director of Assistance to the Incarcerated Mentally Ill. Now, one of the women that I talked to when I could still use my phone, and I want you to know, using my phone is challenging. Today, my grandson held my phone in his right hand and his phone in his left hand. They're both serviced through Metro PCS. He took his phone and dialed my number, and my phone in his right hand did not ring. It did not ring. The phone call went directly to voicemail. And they have my phone calls channeled directly to the voicemail, and then they erase the messages. I don't get to hear your messages if you dial my number. That's how much imprisoned I am. And when he gave me back the phone, I said, let's look for your number. You just dialed my number. You heard my voicemail. Let's look for your number on the missed call list. It wasn't there. Okay, so these people don't want me to be able to communicate with you because they plan to continue murdering mentally ill people like my brother Larry Neal. I got a call from a lady whose mentally ill son was deprived of treatment, and the next thing she knew, her brother and her brother's friend were dead, and they charged her son, who was in a mental health crisis that the state of Georgia did not help her with, and now he's up for double homicide. I always publish stories like that. They deliberately leave the mentally ill untreated and deny them treatment. It's not a matter of all the time they won't enforce treatment. Oh, no, no, no. They won't enforce treatment. But even when mentally ill people willingly go forward and say, yes, I'm having hallucinations. I'm afraid. I'm afraid of what I might do, like this young man did. He willingly went with his mother, but they still didn't treat him because they wanted him to kill somebody. Do they care whether he kills his family or whether a mentally ill person kills your child going to school in the morning or whether a mentally ill person goes to the mall and opens fire in the mall? Do they care? Hell no, they don't care. The more people who are hurt, the more sentence they get to give the mentally ill person. And all they want is those prison profits. And, yes, they risk your lives and the lives of your loved ones in order for them to get prison profits off the mentally ill. And over 1.25 million, that's more than half, of our inmates today are mentally ill people, who most of them were deprived of preventive treatment. That's exactly what's happening. And it's deliberate and it's intentional, and they have withdrawn Medicaid for inpatients in hospitals simply because they want more tragedies. And then they talk about, oh, what a tragedy. Let's take everybody's guns. Well, last year, I believe it was last year or the year before, a mentally ill young man was downtown in Miami with a big woodman's axe, swinging it back and forward at people. Mentally ill people don't need a gun, okay? Mentally ill people can get them an axe and go after people. A young man in Santa Barbara, he didn't necessarily, he used a gun to kill himself and six people, but before that, he used a knife on his roommates, okay? And he also used his car as a weapon on his way to shoot people. So he used a knife, he used his car, and then finally he used a gun. If he hadn't had a gun, he would have probably kept on using his knife and his car. So all of this gun control mess is not going to resolve the issue regarding the dangers that we have in this society, because these prison investors they deny treatment to people who are having mental health crises simply because they want them, yes, absolutely want them, to kill someone. Now, right now, we have a car in front of my house that's going back and forward, back and forward. I don't know why and when these people will understand that they're stalking with their cars and their car lights, and even their stalkers coming around my house with guns, and even their crazy phone calls that they have people call me and curse me out in Spanish, curse me out in Chinese. None of that mess is impressive to me. It does not impress me. And so it's only psychopaths who would think of such things. I want you to know that my brother was mentally ill. He was schizophrenic, but he was not half as crazy as the people who are America's decision makers. He was not half as crazy as any of them. And I want you to know, while we're on the subject of decision makers, that I declared my support for Senator Bernie Sanders. Senator Bernie Sanders, because he has already introduced a bill in Congress called the Freedom is Not for Sale Act. And that bill that Bernie Sanders and others introduced, if it passes, which that would be a miracle, but if it passed, it would eliminate federal contracts with private prisons and jails. So, you know, Congress is so full of private prison owners, honey, people who get paid every time somebody goes to jail, that bill has a slim chance. But while it's in Congress, it would give you an opportunity to see how many prison investors we have in office. And I want to thank Bernie Sanders for introducing that bill, the Freedom is Not for Sale Act. Justice is Not for Sale Act, one of those words, because freedom is justice, and justice is freedom. We need to get ourselves free from all these Nazis, because I tell you what they're getting ready for. Simple as this. Depopulation. That's what they want. That is what they think about. That is what they get together and laugh and talk about. They're laughing and talking and grinning and snickering about eugenics and depopulation. So that's what we have before us right now. And I want to let you know that you should check into Bernie Sanders and support his Justice Is Not For Sale Act to get rid of federal contracts with private prison companies. See how your senators and your congressmen don't support that bill because they are private prison investors. Your judges are, your prosecutors are, your even your crime lab technologists are. And that's how they come back with all these guilty, guilty, guilty. Your crime lab showed that you were there. And some of these people they're talking to are just absolutely amazed that their crime lab reports would come back showing their semen in the person when they've never even met the person. They're shocked. But we have crime labs that are lying. And we were told that this crime lab had two women who one of them had misrepresented her qualifications to be a crime lab technician, and the other woman was found guilty of deliberately falsifying crime lab evidence. And this involved some 144,000 cases. I'm not talking about 20 people. 144,000 cases, and they were all going to be looked at and possibly get new trials and new crime lab. Listen, have you heard about any of those people getting out of jail? No. Just like you never heard of any of the 6,000 Obama said that is getting out of jail. No. Have you heard about anybody getting out of jail since the Fair Sentencing Act? No. Have you heard? You know what I'm saying? Even when you heard about this great big prison release in California, what actually happened for the most part is they transferred prisons from the state prison to the jail. They did some switcheroo. So these prison investors are just making a fool out of American people and demanding over $100 billion of your tax money to do irreparable harm to your fellow citizens. I'm talking about young men who have been incarcerated for over 30 years because they had a controlled substance. Some of them only had the same controlled substance that has now been legalized, and that's marijuana. Yes, we have people serving life in prison over possession of marijuana, while other states have fat cats who are distributing marijuana left and right, and it's free and legal. It's legal now. And so this is the kind of hypocrisy that is used to perpetuate slavery in the United States of America, to perpetuate Jim Crow. As I told you, the temporary service agencies, that is the modern Jim Crow. They give the people they want to hire the real jobs, and they recommend that other people go to a temporary service agency and get on through that. And then the temporary service agency may pay you $8 an hour for what your coworkers are making $20 an hour to do, and getting insurance benefits and everything else that you will be exempt from receiving because you are Jim Crowed out of that position. It's called temporary service work. There ought to be a limit to the amount of time a person can work temporary. I want you to know, temporary. We're all temporary workers, okay, because most of us work in right-to-work states. So we're all temporary workers. How many people have you heard about retiring after keeping their jobs 30 years lately? We're all temporary workers. It's nothing but a Jim Crow tactic. I know people who have been working their temporary jobs for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. They're temporary workers. That is just a way to Jim Crow them out of their fair salary. That's what's happening in America. Jim Crow continues. Slavery continues in the prison investment system. And just like slaves, these people are murdered whenever these people feel like having themselves a bloodbath. They're murdered. And the U.S. DOJ is a crooked liar. And I see no evil. They do nothing about it. They do nothing about the police murders. They do nothing about these murders in custody, nothing. Everybody who murders somebody is justified. And so that's the way it is. That's how it is in America. And so I tell you, I want you to listen to me while I read you a little bit of this agreement that these people thought they had stolen when they sent the COINTELPRO agent to my house to steal my documents. I told them that they can't steal anything from me that I can't reproduce because I reproduced it and reproduced it and reproduced it initially. So maybe they'll believe me when I read them some of this. This is it's called the Settlement Agreement, the Introduction, USA versus Shelby County, Tennessee Settlement Agreement. There are 18 pages on regular letterhead paper, 8.5 by 11 paper. It's 18 pages, and it has 104 paragraphs. 104 points that it made. 104. And don't worry, I'm not going to read you all 104. I'm just going to read you some of it. Okay? Some of their responsibilities under the terms of this agreement. This is what happens when the USA sues a jail for doing grievous acts against its inmates, killing them, beating them, gassing them, and what have you. If they keep on doing that, then the USA enters a position of overview over that jail. But really, it's just a wink-wink, high-five type thing to trick the public. They really operate as they see fit. There is no overview because all it means when the USA is in overview is that if somebody get killed, you got to let us know because we will cover it up for you. And don't worry about their families going to court because we'll send the Cochran firm, the Janet Cochran firm, or some other COINTELPRO lawyer who will keep the case out of court. And don't worry about them using the internet services to expose you because we control the satellites and we have NSA and we'll see that that person doesn't get to use the phone, doesn't get to write articles. We'll have agents right there to monitor and censor and control what that person, if that family wants to complain, we'll have all of that in place to keep the wider public from knowing that you killed this person. So we're going to take overview, but wink, wink, high five, hand slap, it doesn't mean anything. The public is complaining about all your murders, so we've got to make a pretense here. And so don't worry, you keep killing folks. We're not going to say anything about it. We're not going to investigate. We're just going to close ranks around you. We're going to send a COINTELPRO lawyer to represent the family, and the case will never get to court, and we are going to cover for you. And I don't know whether that costs these jails and prisons anything or not, but I do know that in Willacy, W-I-L-L-A-C-Y, County, Texas, the allegations were that Dick Cheney, Vice President Dick Cheney, and former Attorney General Antonio Gonzalez were indicted for taking payoffs to prevent investigations and due process of law after inmate abuses. And so I do know that we've had high government officials who were indicted for allegedly taking payoffs to keep it quiet about abuses of inmates' rights. So that happened in Willacy County, Texas, in 2008. So let me read you a little bit about this agreement. I don't know. I'm going to compare it to what they revised it to at another time. Let me just read to you what they say. In part one, it's introduction. It says, on August 24, 2000, the United States notified Shelby County officials of its intent to investigate conditions of confinement at the Shelby County Jail, that's in Tennessee, pursuant to the Civil Rights of Institutionalized Persons Act, 42 U.S.C. Section 1997. On October 4th through 6th and December 11th through 13th, 2000, the United States toured the Shelby County Jail and consultants in the fields of penology, correctional health care, environmental health and safety, and mental health care. My brother was a schizophrenic, a heart patient, so he was both physically and mentally disabled. And of course, they knew that. Larry Neal had been arrested in this facility numerous times for his misbehavior. Oh, no, I didn't say for his crabs. Larry Neal did not commit a crab, nor did he have the capacity to commit a crab. To commit a crab, you have to be, first of all, have the intent of committing a crab. Larry Neal never committed a crab in his life because he did not advance in age beyond age 8 when he got mumps, and the mumps went into the lining of his brain, the mumps infection, and it stopped his growth, his mental growth. So a mentally ill person who is not advanced beyond the age of 8 is incapable of committing a crime. He had no intention of committing crimes. He sang loud and disturbed the peace. He ate when he was hungry, if there was a store handy, and he didn't necessarily pay for what he ate, because when he was in the mental hospital for 20 years, nobody asked him for money for his lunch. And so he was just mentally ill. Police got sick of him and secretly arrested him, kept him 18 days, and murdered him. And the U.S. government was in overview of the jail, and they applied, the U.S. government applies, is still doing it. All of its hackers, stalkers, NSA agents, to suppress this information. I want you to know what's happening in this world. I want you to know what's happening with your government. The second section talks about definitions. And where I want to begin reading to you is the third section that talks about substantive remedies. Substantive remedial measures. A, security, supervision, and protection from harm. Security staffing and training. Okay? They don't care about harm to these mental patients. Don't let it fool you. It's just language to them. Legal language. It starts out number 15. It says, in order to improve sight and sound supervision of inmates in their housing units, the jail shall convert the majority of inmate living spaces to a direct model of supervision in which the security staff's workstation is located inside the inmate housing unit, either inside a pod or a dormitory. Within 100 days of this agreement, the county shall provide DOJ with a written schedule for conversion of the living units that remain to be converted and shall notify DOJ in writing of any subsequent delays in and or modifications to that schedule. At a minimum, the plan shall provide for the completion of the conversion within 1 year from execution of this agreement. Written notification to the DOJ concerning any subsequent delays shall be provided within 30 days of any such delay or modification. The county shall train all security staff in the principles of direct supervision. A, the county shall ensure that all supervisors and managers complete a course in direct supervision for supervisors and managers no later than January of 2003. B, and by the way, my brother died August 1st, 2003. So that was right after this contract was executed. The county shall report to DOJ on the changes made to its existing pre-service training that changes the focus of this training to direct supervision as the dominant form of supervision at the SCJ, that's Shelby County Jail in Tennessee. The county shall continue to provide comprehensive pre-service training to all security staff. The county shall develop pre-service training for all non, and, you know, it goes on, all of this great training these people are going to get, okay? I don't know whether they got the training or not, but I know that when people are trying you while they're winking, and slapping hands and giving you high fives, it means hey, we got to say this stuff for the benefit of the public. Nobody expects you to go along with this. Nobody expects you to really abide by these rules. And if you don't worry, because 15 years from now, we'll revise it all. Okay? That's the situation. And then the next section is security policies and procedures. And it talks about there will be routine testing and maintenance of keys and locks, ongoing inventory and evaluation of key control. At a minimum, the tool control plan and interim measures shall require ongoing inventory audit and evaluation of tool use at SCJ, the Shelby County Jail. Next, it gets on down to classification and inmate discipline. Okay, now we're getting to the meat of it. 25 says the county shall revise its inmate classification system. The revised system shall, at a minimum, incorporate the following changes. A, any revised classification system shall be, excuse me, wow. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I must have something to drink. Hold on just a second. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to bore you to death reading you all of this thing that was fake, fraudulent, that's been revised 15 years later, like that's going to help to hide the fact that they did not, the USA did not actually keep its overview position that it had contracted. See, when the USA contracts, it contracts in the name of the people of the United States of America. And when these felons, I say they're felons because they are fraudulent. And in Larry Neal's case, they did a fraud on the people of the USA. They did a fraud on America. When they do these frauds, they are defrauding you. They are trying to make you believe that you have a Justice Department that really cares about justice when all the police officers know that they don't. Why do you think they keep killing unarmed people? They know that the U.S. Justice Department is fraudulent. Anyway, I just want to read you this one part. It's B, medical and mental health care, screening, medication, and specialty care. It says the county shall comply with its stated policies to provide medical and mental health intake screening to all inmates. Shall provide a 14-day, now Larry Neal was there 18 days, a 14-day health assessment and examination, shall ensure continuation of prescription medications within 24 hours of intake, shall comply with stated policies to screen inmates for infectious disease, shall continue to provide mental health evaluations for all inmates whose histories or whose responses to initial screening questions indicate a need for such an evaluation, shall provide accurate diagnosis for inmates in need of mental health services, and shall continue to provide timely and appropriate referrals for specialty care. The county shall comply with its stated policy for medication administration, particularly in documenting any missed doses of medication. So my brother had the autopsy said a heart attack. He was on not only prescription psychiatric drugs, but also he was on heart meds. And sudden cessation of heart meds kills people. You know it, and I know it. One of the things that all doctors tell patients when they put them on heart meds is that you must not miss doses. You must not suddenly stop taking these medicines, because to do so is potentially fatal. And so Larry Neal did not get his prescription meds, because his prescription meds would have certainly identified him. Have you ever gotten prescription meds that didn't have your name on it? Larry Neal had a long record of being arrested in Memphis Shelby County Jail, including an arrest 2 weeks before his fatal arrest. So these people lied and said they did not have this mentally ill heart patient because they must have slipped him in through the back door to kill him, and that they did. And the U.S. Justice Department has been holding it down ever since. They held it down under the Bush administration, and then, as you know, you can pretend not to know it if you want to, if that makes you feel safe. As you know, the Obama administration held down everything that Bush put in place and continued it and expanded it, because I don't think that Bush could have gotten NDAA passed, the bill that took away all of our human rights, all of our civil rights. I don't think Bush could have done black people, brown people, red people, and working class and poor white people the way the Obama administration has done. So now we're ready to choose a new administration. Hopefully you will choose a new administration and not anybody who was connected with the Obama administration. Hopefully you will be ready to vote for Bernie Sanders, because Bernie Sanders has not waited until he took office to start fighting against today's slavery system. He already put in a bill, Justice is Not for Sale Act. Oh, they don't like for me to speak up for Bernie Sanders. These Nazis do not like for American citizens to be able to speak up for Bernie Sanders. No matter what happens, they say, another party won the debate. Another party made a good point. Enough, because they want to continue this slavery and Jim Crow system. Okay? So no matter what Bernie Sanders says or does, it's never good enough. It's reminiscent to me of the other party who ran for president before. And we weren't really allowed to hear from him. We weren't really allowed to hear his policies, and that was another man that we should have had president, Ron Paul. Ron Paul deserved our vote more than the man who won, but we weren't allowed to hear. You know, the thing is that Ron Paul said that if he had won the presidential campaign, he was going to release non-violent inmates. He was going to do a prison release. That's precisely why they hated him, because these are slave masters, in as much as their grandfathers were. These are slave masters. They're making money hands over fist by running a skin trade in America. They are literally running a slavery trade in America. And if it's not outright slavery, it is Jim Crow through these temporary service companies. They are running a Jim Crow and slavery trade. And they're using American people's money to do it. When I say that's $100 billion a year industry, these dollars are not just falling out the air. Those are your tax dollars. They should be going to your health and welfare, to your schools, to your parks, to your jobs programs. Those are your dollars. And they're just sucking them up. And they're killing your inmates. And the Bible says, be careful how you treat a prisoner. Consider their bodies as though they were your own. And as I said, today is the Jenny Strozier Keeping It Real show. Jenny Strozier was a Georgia inmate for 46 years, from age 10 to age 56. And he ordinarily comes on air to talk to you on Saturday nights and has wonderful guests, and they coordinate on opportunities that they know about and some that they offer released inmates. And I beg you to please come back next Saturday night to listen to Jenny Strozier, the Keeping It Real show. And Jenny Strozier will tell you about some of the things he saw and the things he experienced while he was incarcerated in the Georgia prison system for 46 years. He will tell you what it's really like. You know, this is nothing to hide. We should not hide what it's really like in these hell holes that are called correctional institutions. Because if we tell what it's really like, instead of glorifying it, you know, some people go to prison and come back and say, oh, it was nothing. It was nothing. I did that. I did that time. It's no big deal. Jenny Strozier tells the horrors that he has witnessed and been involved in. And that is enough to scare some young people straight. So he gives this straight story. You know, don't try to change history. Don't try to take the word slavery out of Texas school books. Don't try to take torture as a word to describe what it's like to be in some of these correctional facilities in America. Don't take away the word torture, because torture is very much a part of what they're doing to people. And not only torture, but murders. Murders and torture. And so don't try to subtract that from the story, because learning that may be all some young people need to decide not to go that way. So I urge you to go to Human Rights Demand at Blog Talk Radio and play some of the tapes from Jenny Strozier, Keeping It Real show, because he keeps it real. He tells you exactly what his life was like as a prisoner for most of his life, 46 years out of now I think he's 58, and 46 of those years he was a prisoner. He grew up behind bars. And he can tell young people and grown-up people what it's really like. And you need to know the truth. The Bible says if you know the truth, then the truth will set you free. So he can tell you the truth, and he can also tell you the truth about once you're out of prison, some of the roadblocks, the necessary roadblocks that are placed in people's way in order to force them into recidivism. But a person who's rooted and grounded in the Lord, like Jenny Strozier is, and like his supporters are, can help a person to resist temptation. And so I just really want to thank you for joining us tonight. Again, Jenny Strozier spoke very briefly during the first part of this program, but he got so many phone calls from his audience who were calling to let him know that they weren't able to speak. They weren't able to come in on the show. And that is because COINTELPRO stalkers probably paid with your tax money, tore up my computer. And if they're not paid with your tax money, I guarantee you that I'm refused the righteous investigation of these crimes that I should have. Okay? You pay for something called the United States Department of Justice. And one of their jobs, one of their stated jobs, is cybercrime. And they will not address the cybercrimes against me. I suspect it's because they're the ones doing it. But even if it's somebody else that they're allowing to do it, like the Johnny Cochran firm, who doesn't want me to tell you that they're no longer can be considered a law firm. And that was a determination made by the United States District Court, Central District of California. And that decision was made on March 12th, I believe it was, 2015. Have you seen that in the news anywhere? Hell no. You haven't seen anywhere in the news, you haven't heard a news broadcast or read it in the news that the Johnny Cochran firm is not a law firm, and that that was determined by a United States District Court. You know why? Because these same people, Nazis, who control or try to control what I upload online, also control the mainstream news media. And I guess what? They also control a whole lot of these so-called independent news. All these so-called independent news Honey, all they are is more Noxy Bull by a different color. A lot of them are just as much into the cover-up of Noxism in America as mainstream news is. But you have not seen it broadcast that the Cochran firm has been declared by federal court not to even be a law firm. And if they had broadcast that, that would have saved many black mothers from signing contracts with those imposters who are not even a law firm. So please look it up. I do have it online. I managed to get that online before they destroyed my second computer this year. They destroyed the first one on July 3rd. I got another one, and they destroyed it on September 29th. And I believe that was the day after they did something with TPP. TPP will take away your freedom of press, I understand, from reading the reports. TPP, that's the Trans-Pacific Partnership. So please look up these things. I can't give you much information as I would like to because I'm not as on top of developments as I normally am. As I said, they've destroyed my computer again, but I just want to let you know what's really going on in America. It's called Noxism. The intention is genocide, eugenics, and they're beginning with the mentally ill, who are the same people that Nazi Germany began by actually isolating and destroying. And so they're not reinventing the wheel. They're just doing the same thing that already worked before. So God bless you. Please look at Dog Justice for mentally ill, for some examples of the cruelty and the murders that I'm talking to you about of mentally ill people. And know that the mentally ill were only the first to go in Nazi Germany. They began there, but they did not stop there. And neither have they stopped in America with the mentally ill. Just as they did in Nazi Germany, they moved on from them to minorities. And a black person is killed in America. I'm told it's once every 28 minutes that a black person is killed in America under the color of law. So this stuff is not new. It's not new. It's not 21st century stuff. It's 20th century stuff. We've been through this all before. And that time, supposedly, we were fighting it. But I've read articles that seem to be fact because of the documents that they show with them, saying that the USA actually hid some of the Nazis and kept them from going to the Nuremberg trials. So just stay aware of what's happening. And if you knew what I know, if you knew half or even part of what I know, you would stay your distance from electing anybody who's been a part of the Obama administration this time around. You would just, that would be repulsive to you because it will only be a continuation of these programs that have already started. So God bless you and good night.